Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
2 days ahead of the NBA draft on Thursday night, live coverage on Sports Radio 92. The game from 7 to 10. Mike Conley and Andy Bunker live from State Farm Arena. All the picks of round one of the NBA draft. If you want to go and be part of that NBA draft party at State Farm, you can. You have to get tickets, though, and the tickets are at our website, 929thegame.com. Under the events tab or just 929thegame.com/events if you want to go to State Farm Arena on Thursday night and be part of the Hawks big shindig. And be a whole bunch of people there watching the draft on the big screen and a lot of, you know, fun and frivolity here because it's going to be a big night with six draft picks. How much are the Hawks going to wheel and deal? Welcome back to the morning show with John and Hugh. Hey, I am excited about this draft, Hugh, a lot.
I am too. With everything that's happening in the NBA right now and, you know, potentially – for the Hawks to get another young stud that's going to come in here and contribute to what we're trying to build. I'm excited about all that. Excited to see how it's going to play out.
Or maybe two young studs because I have the latest CBS projection rumor guesstimation and tell you what CBS Sports is saying, what the Hawks will do with their picks on opening night. And I think you're going to like what they say because I saw this and went, if they do this, I'm going to be very happy. All right, let's we'll get to that in a minute. First, though, Dukes of Bell had a chance to talk with head coach Lloyd Pierce about what they do. They work on all these guys. They bring them over to the – because their practice facility over at Emory, Hugh, is sweet.
Yes, it is. It's really nice.
So they work them out at Emory, and so the coach gets a chance to see a lot of these guys. And they talk to the coach, and the very first question was about that when they ask Lloyd Pierce, what are you looking for when you bring players in to work them out?
You know, during the draft process and all of the workouts, the important part is to evaluate everyone. There's some things you can assess watching on film, and there's some things you need to assess with your own eyes. And so just to have the ability to have over 100 prospects here at the Emory Center is very valuable for all of us. And so sometimes, for me personally, I find it easier to find the no's than the yeses. There's no way I can coach that guy, or there's no way he's an NBA player, or there's no way – So being able to deduce some of that information just by having them in our gym is really valuable because when the pick comes up, it's not an emotional decision. It's a very well-educated and well-versed decision.
Coach, I know we can't put you on the spot about guys in the top 10, but would you like to see – I'll massage it. Would you like to see a guy with some really good defensive skills as part of this draft class?
I always want to see some guys with some defensive skills. I think part of the draft process is finding ways to add value to your roster, in addition to guys that will grow into the players you want them to be. Not all of them, not any of them, are going to come as a finished product. You just hope some of them have a great base and starting point. And defensively, we love guys that have a great base and starting point there, meaning they have the capabilities to defend or they have the mentality to defend. And a lot of times it's just that simple. Now we have to teach them the execution of what we want defensively. And so there's a couple guys, I think in the top 15, top 20, that really do have a defensive base already as a part of their skill set. There's obviously some guys that don't. And so we want to add some value with the defensive side. We want to just flat out add talent as well.
You know, we're so excited with the job that Travis Schlenk has done. A guy like John Collins, and then we go get a guy like Herter, which maybe the casual fan wasn't familiar with how good he was. I mean, would you like to see us use all the picks? Or, I mean, I know you could argue that...
No, I don't. Not one bit. No. I mean, we've got six picks, which is six rookies. And
right.
Adding on the three second-year players, so that's nine of our 15. You know, I think less is more. I think having value in the guys we get, and sometimes that may be packaging one or two to get the one guy you want, or packaging one and two and getting the one guy you want and something in the future. But you know, for us, it's adding value. It's adding talent. I think we'll find that in two or three, maybe three or four guys, and some will be at different stages. One guy will be ready to play right away. One guy will do kind of what Kevin Herter did. You know, he wasn't ready to go right from the start, and then he jumped into that role midseason. And then, you know, you have a guy that maybe you can sit on for a year, and he's more in the development phase and spending time in College Park with our G League team, and next year we're relying on him, or 2 years we'll be relying on him a little bit more. So I think there's different ways of evaluating, but six guys, you know, that's tough.
All right, Coach, follow me here. All right, just play along. we have Trae Young, who makes guys better with the ball. He is a ball-dominant guard, but with his assist ability, you know, he's able to get the ball in the hands of players who can obviously score. Is it possible that you would look at players who are also ball dominant at their position and want to pair him with a guy like Trae? Or are we simply looking at guys who are not as ball dominant as Trae and they are much more of the scoring type?
We are looking at, you know, and I think there's a lot of different ways to evaluate a player's skill set. You look at the current champion up in Toronto and you know, in the fourth quarter, two point guards were on the floor at the same time. You look at last year's champion and, you know, who do you put the ball in? You know, do you put it in the 6'11 ultra score or do you put it in the 6'3 ultra score? But both guys need the basketball. And so I say that because it's not just the positional thing. It's the skill set. You know, we can draft the 6'9 guy that needs the ball in his hands in addition to a guy that can play with, like Trae, who needs the ball in his hands. The more you have of those players that need the ball in their hands because they're capable of making plays with the basketball, the better. Doesn't mean that they aren't effective when they don't have the basketball in their hands, because I think, you know, if Trae gets blitzed a lot, and so when you add two defenders on Trae and you get off the basketball quick, well, there's a secondary facilitator on the backside that's attacking 4-on-3. We want that guy on the backside as well, because when Trae gets blitzed, and he will get blitzed, we have another facilitator that can play at a high level. So I know a lot of people make, you know, you're probably not going to draft the point guard. Well, we need another guy that can play with the basketball. I don't know where he'll be. I don't know if he's a 4. I don't know if he's a 3. I don't know if he's a 2. Okay. But to have multiple playmakers is an elite roster that you have when you do that.
It is Lloyd Pierce, guys, the head coach of your Atlanta Hawks, with us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Last year they brought in a guy like Jeremy Lin, and Jeremy Lin really helped Trae Young with his development. And would you, whether it's a 3 or a 2, would you want to bring in a guy that could also help one of the younger guys if possible?
Yeah, I mean, obviously Travis and I, we spend a lot of time communicating on not only the roster, but just kind of what's needed, what's best, in a lot of ways, on the court, in the locker room, the culture of our team and our young team and you know, what we had. We saw what we were able to have in Vince, just the presence, the leadership. We saw what we have in Dwayne Dedmon and Kent Bazemore, guys that are ultimate professionals. And so we'll know how many of these six picks that we use on draft night, and then we'll look at, well, what is the remainder of the roster and what do we need? Is it a player? Is it a position? Is it a locker room guy? And if not, you know, this is the opportunity. You take risk and you help a young guy grow. I have to help Trae become a leader. He's one of our leaders on the court, but he needs to be one of our leaders in the locker room. John's in his third year, and I want to see him use his voice a lot more, understanding what we want to do in addition to his talent on the court. So sometimes those are opportunities that come as a blessing. Instead of looking over your shoulder for a veteran to speak up, it's on our young guys who are playing 30-plus minutes a game to speak up.
So here's the deal. I know you might package the picks. We trust Travis. We trust the process. Do you have a couple guys, I mean, on your wish list that, you know, if, you know, it becomes nut-cutting time, you go, hey, Travis, I really want this guy. Was that something that could play?
Well, I think, you know, Travis does an unbelievable job of organizing us. We have mock drafts and mock scenarios of what could happen and what might happen. And if we end up in this situation, who are the guys that we're going to be looking at? And of these guys that we're looking at, who do we feel most comfortable with if they're available? Obviously, we have the 8th pick right now, and if that shows up and there's 4 or 5 guys that we're looking at, who are we most comfortable with? So it shouldn't be an emotional and, you know, on-the-spot decision. We've thought about this, and they've thought about this, and he's gone through this scenario multiple times.
Right.
We all have a guy. We all have 2 guys. We have 3 or 4 guys that we kind of like, and then you go 5 or 6 guys that
You know, you have some knocks on, but you'll be all right trying to coach them. And I think there's layers of how much you like each guy, depending on where they are in the order of the draft. But that's what they do, and that's what Travis has done with the scouting staff and our coaching staff pretty much for the last 2 months.
That was head coach Lloyd Pierce talking about how they've been counting down to the NBA draft. And the morning show with John and Hugh on this Tuesday ahead of Thursday's NBA draft, where the Hawks have picks 8, 10, 17, 35, 41, and 44. So they have 6 picks in the top 44 of the draft. And Travis Schlenk has told us, Hugh, many times that he is not going to take 6. He's not going to take 5. He's going
to be packaging around. No, he's not married to none of those. He's trying to make some moves. He's definitely trying to make some moves. What those moves will, what will they be? We don't know. How will they package them? We don't know. Which picks will he keep? We're thinking that he's going to keep the 10th pick and try to move that 8th pick up a little bit closer. That's what we're thinking.
Well, that's what we're thinking, but CBS has a different thought. And this is what CBS Sports is saying about a potential swap for the Atlanta Hawks. If this happens, now listen to this. If this happens, how excited are you going to be if this takes place? They're saying Cleveland moves down and swaps first-rounders with Atlanta. And this is what they say. The Hawks would get the number 5 pick. The Cleveland Cavaliers would get numbers 10 and 17. The Hawks would keep number 8. So the Hawks, who are heavily linked to Jarrett Culver out of Texas Tech, would swap with Cleveland, get Culver, and then at 8 take Cam Reddish.
5 and 8?
Yeah.
5 and 8. That's not a bad place to be. I think that's where, when we talked to Travis Schlenk and, looking at what we wanted, that's probably a little bit closer to where you want it to be as far as the draft picks are concerned.
Wow, that would be something if you ended up with 5 and 8.
Definitely would be.
I mean, if you could get Cleveland to bite and take 10 and 17 for the number 5 pick.
Definitely would be.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be good for us.
Yeah, that'd be a
definitely
good day. Good that'd be a very good day. I mean, that would be a win-win having 5 and 8. Suddenly would be – that's why that Brooklyn deal to get number 17 might pay off in handsomely. And then you have the 3 second-round picks. So let's say we'll play CBS's little game here. You get 5 and 8. You end up with Jarrett Culver out of Texas Tech, Cam Reddish out of Duke, and then you could take those extra 3. Now, you can do one of two things, Hugh, with the 3 second-round picks. You can bundle them all up and trade them for a future first-rounder. You could do that. Or you could bundle them all up and maybe trade back into the end of the first round, and the guy that I really want is still there is Carson Edwards out of Purdue. Carson Edwards can light it up from three-point territory.
Yeah, and speaking of that, John, you heard Coach Pierce talk about they need somebody else that can handle the ball. Somebody else can shoot the rock. So that's who they're looking for. You know, as much he can tell us about that, so it has to be somebody that's going to be available when they're getting ready to pick and somebody that can shoot and take some of that pressure off of Trey.
Yeah, now we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what they're – see, here's the other thing. We don't know their big board. CBS is, spitballing, saying that the Hawks have been linked to Jarrett Culver, which is true, by the way. They have been linked to them through rumors and speculation. That's how they're linked to them, not anything the Hawks have said or done. I mean, the Hawks may want DeAndre Hunter, or Cleveland may want to not trade, or if Cleveland does trade, maybe they want number 8. We have no idea, but this is like – you couldn't paint to me a better scenario than the idea of 5, 8, and maybe, say, 30, and having it be Jarrett Culver, Cam Reddish, and Carson Edwards. I'd be jumping up and down on Friday morning if that were the case.
I think any of those names that you mentioned right there, John, would make people happy. I think that they'll be pretty content with that.
You know, and if they do this draft right, let's say they did something along those lines, because they're not going to mess up the draft because two reasons. One, you have 3 of the top 17 picks, and 2, you have Travis Schlenk, who, as a basketball evaluator, is among the best, if not the best, in the game. I mean, he just is that great.
Pretty good so far.
I mean, he's really, really well. Really proven himself over the years. If they do this draft right with Herter and with, and we forget about, and we don't forget, but we just, I think, we don't say enough about some of the other guys like Amari Spellman, but with Herter, Collins, and Young, and you get one more starter out of that and a real key bench guy, is 41 and 41 a possibility next year?
Playoffs, yeah. Probably AC, yeah. I can see that. Definitely. Now with the power looking like it's about to shift in the East a little bit, yeah, I could definitely see that.
Yeah, so I think everything kind of looking on the up and up. Going to be a fascinating night to see what they're able to pull off. And here's the thing. Unless they surprise us, there's not going to be an announcement of a trade prior to the draft. You won't hear of the trade until it's the Hawks pick at number 8, okay? That's the first time you'll hear, or maybe even number 10 if CBS is right, the first time you'll hear of a trade. What would happen is – you know, Cleveland will go through, and we'll play this scenario. Cleveland goes through, and with the fifth pick, the Cleveland Cavaliers take Jarrett Culver. And then you get down to the Hawks pick. With the eighth pick, the Hawks take Cam Reddish. Okay, no word. And now you get down to the Hawks' 10th pick. With the 10th pick, the Hawks take Jackson Hayes, and we have a trade. You know, the Hawks trade the rights to Jackson Hayes to Cleveland for the number 5 pick along with the number 17. So that's when you'll hear it. You won't hear it before then, Hugh. You won't hear of anything.
No, they can't, because you can't do anything before then.
Right. I mean, you just simply can't do anything before then. So that's why it's going to be such a fun draft night. No matter if you don't hear of a trade at 8, that doesn't mean you won't hear of a trade at 10. And you may not hear. Well, look, maybe the Hawks can't pull off a trade. Maybe they're just sort of, air quotes, saddled with 8, 10, and 17. I mean, you're not really saddled. You just got to make 3 good picks. Because, again, if you could take those 3 picks and either trade them for a future first rounder or trade back into the first round, you could get 4 first round picks.
It's a whole lot going on, John Frick. You got a lot going on in that brain over there, yours. It's a lot of that's a lot of moving around and stuff.
Well, you know, I mean, he doesn't want 5 guys. I doubt
he
wants 4.
No, he definitely said that. Yeah, he definitely said that. He's not going to have all these rookies on this squad.
Right.
So I'm thinking two quality players at the most.
He's got at least 1 trade, if not 2 trades, to make on draft night. The Hawks may make 2 trades on draft night. Again, 7 o'clock, live coverage on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game from State Farm Arena and the big party there with Mike and Andy Bunker, and you can go to the party at 929thegame.com/events and pick up tickets for that event. When we get back in a moment, what's the best division in the NFL this year? What NFL.com says is the best division, is it the NFC South? We'll tell you after a CBS Sports Minute and Boomer Esiason. We are 1 month today, 1 month today from the opening of NFL training camps. 1 month from today, the Denver Broncos, who will face 44 days away, the Atlanta Falcons in the Hall of Fame game, will open their camp. They'll be the first to open 1 month from today. That's how fast things are coming in the NFL. 6 weeks from Thursday, Falcons and Broncos at the Hall of Fame game in Canton, Ohio, to kick things off. Welcome back to the Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And, of course, everybody's a champion at this time of the year, even the Cincinnati Bengals, who seem to think with A.J. Green they can win the division. Good luck to them. All right. Everybody's a champion.
Yeah, that's how it works in the NFL, John. I don't know why you're hating on the Bengals. The Bengals fans, the Who Day Nation, they feel like they got a shot this year.
Yeah, no, they feel like they've got a shot in that AFC North. And that AFC North is a brutally tough division. The thing is with divisions, you're only really as good as your last place team. And so NFL.com, all their experts got together and they projected out which was going to be the best division in the NFL, what was going to be the worst division in the NFL, ranked them all 1 through 8. Where did the NFC South fall in all of that?
If you're asking me to take a nice little guess, John, I would probably say maybe 1 or 2.
No, you're close. The NFC South finished 3rd.
I mean, that's about – I could see that.
All right, so the this is how they ranked. I mean, you tell me what you think of these rankings. All right, so the number 8, the worst division, we'll do 8-1, okay? Worst division in the NFL, AFC East.
Well, yeah, because it's lopsided. It's way lopsided. Well, it's one-sided. Not lopsided, one-sided.
And has been for 20 years.
Yeah, it's been like that for a long time.
Number 7, the NFC East.
NFC East?
Yep.
I could, yeah. Because you only got 2 teams that are at the top. I would say, yeah, Redskins. Man, I don't know if they're going to be in the Giants. So I say, okay, I'm cool with that.
Number 6, the AFC West, which is surprising to me.
AFC West?
Yep.
Is one of the worst?
Well, it's number 6, yeah.
You mean Kansas City?
Yep.
Oakland?
Yep.
Denver?
Mm-hmm. Los Angeles Chargers?
Okay.
That's what
they
say.
Okay.
Ranked them below the AFC South with Houston and Indianapolis and Tennessee and Jacksonville.
Wow.
Number 4, here's the top 4, NFC West.
NFC West.
Yep. Rams, 49ers, Cardinals, Seahawks.
The Rams, 40—wait a minute. Hold up. They got that ranked the best division?
No, at number 4.
Well, I'm just saying better than the AFC West?
Yep. Number 3, the NFC South. Number 2, the AFC North with Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Cleveland, and Cincinnati.
Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Cleveland. Okay.
And number 1, the NFC North.
I give them that. The NFC North looks like it's going to be pretty stout this year. And you give Green Bay the nod because of Aaron Rodgers. Who else you got in the North? The Chicago Bears.
Minnesota Vikings. Minnesota, and Detroit Lions.
To me, there's not that much difference between the NFC North and the NFC East when you talk about the way that the teams are constructed. You, I guess you give Minnesota the nod because of, you know, what they could potentially be. But and then you know Green Bay, like I said, because of Aaron Rodgers. But the best team out of there, if I was ranking the teams, it would be Chicago first. I'd probably say Minnesota second because they have more talent offensively,
except for their offensive line. If they fix
well, yeah,
that.
I'm talking about skill positions, and then Green Bay third because of Aaron Rodgers.
Right. So, but if the Lions are the worst team in your division, and you're only as good as your last place team. The Lions are a team that could win 10 games this year if they play well.
Man, I would be curious to be in the room when the person that wrote this story was in the room with other people and they decided to rank the divisions the way that they ranked them. I'll be curious.
Yeah,
about
the one
that.
I was really surprised was AFC West being six.
Yeah. I could because the West to me, with Phillip Rivers, the young cat from Kansas City.
Yeah, Pat Mahomes.
Pat Mahomes.
Now you got Joe Flacco in Denver.
Yeah, and that defense. Those are three legit teams. Like, I could honestly make a case for the Denver Broncos to be a team that comes out of that division in the playoffs, make it to the playoffs. Raiders, you give Gruden a nod because it's Gruden, and they look like they might be somewhat competitive. So you give them a nod. So – yeah, I would think the West would be a little bit higher than that.
Right, and a lot is expected to rank the NFC West fourth. What you're saying is you're saying San Francisco, that Kyle Shanahan's going to take that team and make
and
a big
see,
jump.
And see, that's a whole bunch of ifs and maybes. That to me is not nothing that's guaranteed. I know that Shanahan had his historically well when he got here, his legacy made a turn for the better,
mm-hmm.
made a hard right. For the better. And you're expecting him to do that there in San Fran, but that's not a given. You don't know what Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be.
Right, yeah.
You know, you don't know, you know, and you know, you got Nick Bosa. You got Nick Bosa there, yeah. You know, you're thinking that he might be something like his brother, but that's not a given. That's not a given. So to say that, and then Arizona, come on, man. Arizona's going to be a doormat for that division. Like, I can't see Arizona winning over six games this year.
Yeah, I can't either. I mean, with Kyler Murray's going to be running for his life all season long.
I would love to be in the room and see where these folks when they make these little polls and they rank everything. What are they ranking it based upon?
Well, you know, it's also flavor of the month. I mean, if you look at the flavor of the month when it comes to individual teams and who everybody just is falling in love with preseason, who are they falling in love with? They're falling in love with the Cleveland Browns, right? Of course, with all that young talent, and maybe rightfully so. They've got a boatload of young talent, and they have a superstar wide receiver now coming into a wide receiving core that might be second best in the NFL on paper behind only the Falcons. They've got a hot young quarterback, but what they got a brand new coach, and we don't know how that's going to work out. And they got a quarterback who can't keep his mouth shut. That there could be a problem in the locker room.
It might be a problem, potentially.
Yeah.
That could potentially be a problem.
And you have San Francisco. They're the hot new thing because Jimmy Garoppolo was so hot coming out of New England and then got injured. But we don't know how good he's going to be. How's Tevin Coleman going to be in that attack? And, yes, you think that Kyle Shanahan would feature him. You mentioned Nick Bosa. They've got some good young players. But they're in a division where, frankly, unless I'm wrong, I don't think they finish above – I don't think they finish in the top two. They could win the division. If you told me San Francisco won 11 games and won the division, oh, okay.
I think it's going to be tough.
I think they're more likely to lose 10.
I think Seattle's going to have something to say about
right,
that.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
I think Seattle's going to be a contender in
right.
the division.
Right, I mean, if you start ranking the quarterbacks in the division, Russell Wilson, to me, is still the best quarterback in the division. He's better than Jared Goff. He's better than a hobbled Garoppolo who's coming off an injury.
Agreed.
And he's better than the rookie Kyler Murray.
Agreed.
Russell, that's why he's the highest paid player in the NFL. And so I think that, yeah, Seattle to me is much more of a threat.
You know what,
this is what
gets people in the barbershop talking. This is barbershop talk. That's all this is. I mean, to rank them like that, because like I said, I want to sit in the room and say, how are you coming to your conclusion? because I would definitely make a stronger case for the AFC West to be ranked a lot higher than that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's going to be a dogfight coming out of that division.
Because you look at the AFC North, I mean, Pittsburgh's got a very good team. We understand that. But they've been beset by so many problems. And now they don't have Antonio Brown anymore.
Yeah, and you're going to wonder, well, Juju Smith is still a good receiver. But right. You wonder how the dynamic in the locker room has changed, because there was a whole lot of chirping that was going on that they really tried to do. They didn't do a good job of keeping it in-house. And you know that there's probably still some disgruntled employees in there, and they're trying to right the ship. You know, Ben Roethlisberger admitted that, you know, he made some missteps as the leader of the team, and he probably separated himself a little bit from everybody else, which all quarterbacks do. I mean, he's not the only one. He's just the only one that sat up there and admitted it. They all kind of separate themselves. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that works out.
Yeah, and Cincinnati's got a brand-new coach who's never coached a day in his life as a head coach.
Yeah, Baker and the Cleveland Browns, I would think, would be the favorites.
You know, because Baltimore's got Lamar Jackson. Earl Thomas is out there saying Lamar Jackson's going to be a superstar, and that's great. But unless he perfected pocket passing, we all can see what's coming down the pike for Lamar Jackson's going to go. He's going to go Carson Wentz. He's going to go RG3. He's going to go Deshaun Watson. He's going to get injured. That's just this is the NFL. And when he gets injured and has his legs cut out from under him, is he going to be able to reinvent himself into a pocket passer?
Yeah, it doesn't bode well for young quarterbacks that come in and rely heavily on their legs like that. So yeah, he's going to have to adapt to the way that the game is played at this level and try to get, you know, find a balance that works for him, that keeps him from getting hurt and allows him to throw the ball and become more of a passing threat in the passing game.
I can understand putting the NFC South third. I mean, you got, you know, obviously a great team down in the swamp, and I know they are a great team. I get it. I think we have a pretty darn good team, and I think people are quietly starting to say, you know, Atlanta could be pretty good again this year. Well, yeah, you could. There are two unknowns here. One is the health of Cam Newton and what Carolina's Carolina a 10 or 11 win team, or is Cam hurt and they're putting Will Greer in, and is Will Greer going to be any good? And, you know, I don't know. Carolina's kind of a hit or miss here. And what does Bruce Arians do now that he has Ndamukong Suh and Jameis Winston down in Tampa? Again, I have no idea. Bruce Arians is the best coach they've had in a while, that's for sure. That much I get.
Yeah, and you know they're going to be a much better. They're not going to be the same team that they were. Hopefully, you know, from all the reports, Jameis Winston is doing really good down there. And like you said, Carolina, Cam, what's going to happen with them? And you would say right now that the class of the South would be the Saints and Drew Brizzle, and then the Falcons coming in a close second.
Yeah, so we'll see. Again, and this is just NFL.com kind of ranking things. And it's flavor of the month. It's, you know, we get into the season, and, of course, things change throughout the course of the year. But, now, the NFC North is, on paper, and this is all it is the most balanced division, because you're only as good as your last-place team, and that's a division that has, in theory, in Detroit, in the Lions, the best last-place team that can actually win the division as a last-place team. Hey, Tanager's been combing through some great stuff because you gave me a little look-see ahead to some of the things that we missed. Oh, you got to hear this next. On the morning show on this Tuesday with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Well, as always, we're going to miss something on the morning show because we get locked into, like, NBA draft and of course, get to arguing, you and I, well, not arguing, to debating about where the NFC
Strong
South
conversation.
Is. Yeah, you
Strong
know,
conversation.
Barbershop, as he says, or of course, yapping about the Braves. So we always miss something, Anitra, and you always manage to find the good stuff that we miss.
So you know how we always have our fun with only out of Florida? Well, I will do some hating on Houston like I love to do as well. So a Texas family admits to massive scheme to land Masters Tournament tickets. You know, that entry to witness one of golf's top tournaments at Augusta National is one of the most sought-after tickets in the world.
Oh, no question.
Badges for Masters practice round days go for thousands on the secondary market. So four members of a Texas family decided to get in on the action. Stephen Michael Freeman of Katy, which is just outside of Houston, pleaded guilty to a charge of conspiracy to commit wire fraud. But get this, Freeman's parents and his sister also pleaded guilty to the same charge after using names from a bulk mailing list they obtained to enter the lottery to sell those where the National Club sells those tickets.
Those sons of guns are going to make me mad because, you know.
I know.
We enter the lottery every year, but we do it right.
Exactly. And we can't. I mean, credentials are backed up for 20 years for the media. I mean,
right.
It's that tough to get in there. So the scheme used stolen identities to obtain tickets to the tournament, which were then resold for profits. The defendants will now pay more than $250,000
Good.
In restitution as a part of the agreement. Freeman's going to jail. He's going to serve a 3-year sentence. So I'm thinking, John, thinking, Hugh, that after you have to pay back over $250,000 in restitution, assuming you had to give your profit back too, I mean, is that really worth it?
No, not if you get caught. It's always a good idea until you get caught.
That's how
it always goes. You know, if you get away with it, it's a great idea. But when you get caught and you have to pay that restitution, then you think like, damn, you know, that's those penitentiary chances that some people like to take.
I would think that we would be hearing about the lottery really soon, about now.
Yeah.
I mean, because you apply as soon as the tournament ends,
mm-hmm.
and then sometime in June they let you know. The Maven has been entering the lottery for 25 years.
Yes.
2 years ago, she won tickets to Monday. That's the only time she's ever been, because there's so many.
Oh,
your
yeah.
odds are,
yeah.
you know, and you know, she. So we won 4 tickets to Monday and went 2 years ago. Used to be when I in the 80s, when I was working at CNN, if I wasn't covering the event,
mm-hmm.
you could go Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday and pay $20 at the door.
Wow.
And walk in. And now it is the most impossible ticket to get in all of sports.
By far. That's no joke.
Yeah.
I mean, to be there and to have the honor and the privilege to go there, because it sounds like it's one of those places where, you know, everybody kind of, you know, it's like almost like going to the White House or something.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like you
much easier for me to just walk down the street at East Lake last year.
Yeah, East Lake's very nice, but yeah, Augusta.
Nice, but I know Augusta has just a lore about it.
Well, not just the lore; it's how beautiful it is.
Mm-hmm.
How I mean, and it's like Gulf Disneyland with what they built in both the north and south entrances. With these, their gift shop is like the nicest gift shop you've ever been in the world. I mean, it's that nice. And one of the interesting things about Augusta Gift Shop is that if you want to buy an Augusta hat or an Augusta keychain or an Augusta towel mm-hmm. or an Augusta shirt, you cannot buy them online. You cannot buy them in stores. You can only buy them in the gift shop.
So it's exclusive.
Cool. Yes.
Exclusive.
Very
so when you see
all the way
that,
down.
Yeah, so when you see cats that have them on, they went to Hollow Ground to get that thing.
Yep.
Yes.
Oh,
well, something that was not so exclusive was injuries for the Warriors. Yes, I'm still sulking just a bit. So after Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson, of course, went down with injury in the NBA Finals. There's hope for them. There's hope after all that these injuries might be avoided in the future for both them and other players. Mavs owner Mark Cuban says, wouldn't be surprised if players like, of course, he was talking Luka Doncic, played into their 40s thanks to new medical technology that can prevent non-contact injuries. Told TMZ there's new sonogram-type technology out there, but it's not advanced enough yet, so they're still doing the research on it. But the expectation is, you know, when he came into the league 20 years ago, players were crossing that 30-year-old mark, and they were kind of done. But now players like Dirk Nowitzki playing into his 40s and this kind
Vince
of technology.
Carter.
Yeah, exactly. Our own Vince Carter. We hope will continue to be our own Vince Carter. Certainly playing well into their 40s. So he's thinking that's going to become something of a trend and more of the norm than the exception. Trey Young, you listening? We want you there until 40.
I mean, I think
so.
That's,
I mean, will that be, will the 40s potentially with this new technology be the new 30s in the NBA?
I think so. I think in the NBA, especially probably not the NFL, because they're not trying to keep anybody to the 40s anymore. It's kind of trending younger.
Unless you're Tom Brady.
Yes.
Yeah. Unless you're, right. I would say a quarterback,
yeah.
just
yeah.
a quarterback.
That,
but
yeah.
I would say yes. Because you look at it, and it's kind of trending that way now, because now when you go to NFL camps, they have nutritionists
yes.
that have energy drinks and meals specifically for individual players. And I've even seen Coach Quinn, they have like, they put those little monitors on their chest to monitor their body rate, the heat coming off their body, how they're burning the calories and things of that nature. So, yeah, I could definitely see that.
Did you see Mark Jackson blow out the Warriors training staff? Said that they were ones that were responsible for KD because they told him that his Achilles, it was a calf thing, and that his Achilles would be fine.
Well, you know,
yeah, but,
that
yeah.
training staff did come from Canada. I'm just saying. They're a new training staff as of a year ago. We, on the other hand, have one of their old heads of training here with the Hawks. And look how many injuries we didn't have this year. Just saying. Okay, so on to our uni stories. That's going to wrap us up. A couple cool stories. First of all, a hoops team, showed major love for David Ortiz over the weekend. They ditched their normal uniforms with Big Papi's logo on it as a tribute to him with all that he's gone through. Of course, he's still in Boston recovering after major surgery from that hit put out on him a couple weeks ago.
Did we find out more about that? About
Yeah, they're actually closing in on the guy who orchestrated it all, CNN reported about a couple hours ago.
So
yeah.
was David Ortiz messing around with somebody's wife?
It looks like that is the ultimate, yeah. That's
Here's
the
lesson here,
motive.
Boys and girls. Don't mess with anybody's wife. Girlfriends, maybe, but not anybody's wife. You can't fool with nobody's wife.
Yeah.
Can't do that. Not to
pay somebody $7,800 to off you.
Right, right. Well, it did work out a little bit. At least the tribute worked out in the favor of the team because they did beat San Carlos 8381. That's Vuelos del Siglo that rocked those uniforms. And then this one, cool and mind-blowing, John, a Babe Ruth jersey. Now, this is that jersey's the real MVP, because that jersey sold yesterday for a whopping $5.64 million. It was a jersey worn by Babe Ruth. It's the most expensive piece of sports memorabilia ever sold. It was sold at an auction in New York on Saturday, beat the previous record, which was $4.4 million, set in 2012. And guess whose jersey it was that time?
Babe Ruth.
Yes, sir.
I tell you what, that right there, to have a jersey that's worth $5 million, that's why I got these little Transformers that I got from the first movie that are still in the box. I'm going to try to see how much they're worth on the toy side. I mean, it's not the same as a jersey, but it is a collector's item.
It's a collector's item.
Collector's items are no joke.
$5.6 million for a jersey.
And to think that the record was $4.4 million for his jersey back in 2012, mind-blowing. But I guess when you're talking about a legend of that status, just like the president of Hunt Auctions said, the record-setting prices attained are just astonishing, but they're not surprised because of his mythical status in the history of sports in this country.
Hey, Hugh, what Transformers do you have? Because I'm looking on
I have the first movie version of the Optimus Prime, and I have Megatron.
Transformers was on there.
Yeah, and then I think I have the third generation Optimus Prime.
Cool.
And I have a Punisher. I have a Marvel Punisher that's still in the pack, too.
Yeah, you should get a dollar for that. You should.
I'm going to hold on to him for a little while.
In the box here. See, I'm trying to find it. Not the reissue, but the first one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not the very, very first one. The first one from the first
movie. The first movie, yeah.
Like the very first Optimus Prime, like $500 or something like that. The very, very first one.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, because they're all over the map here from $50 to $500, right? Yeah. Depends, right?
Yeah, it all depends on which one you got.
Yeah. There you go. Hey, thanks, T. Always.
You're the best.
Yeah, she is.
Thanks,
the
guys.
Braves are hot. We're asking you, are they ready to run away with the NL East? Next, with John and Hugh on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.